Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody. What's happening? Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is Thursday Night Pint, a brand new show for you each and every week, Thursday at 7 p.m. Liverpool fans sitting down, having a bevy and chatting shit about the Reds. What's not to love? We'll find out in due course. We've got some great guests lined up for you. We're going to be talking about having a deep and serious conversation about what's happening with Fabinho. We're going to be taking some of your deepest held, die-on-the-hill football takes and conspiracy theories and rating them in Rate My Take. And then we're going to be previewing Liverpool versus Wolves as well. Yeah, we've got some great people to join me for that. We will get them out in a moment. But first, it's time to have a look at the week in Liverpool and go through some of the headlines affecting our mighty Reds over the past 7 days. We begin with the FA Cup as the mighty Reds crashed out to the even mightier Brighton and Hove Albion, the holders exiting the FA Cup at the fourth round stage. You know, it's tough to take, easy to take when you're going up against some of the, you know, huge footballing dynamos like Brighton and Hove Albion. Secondly, the PGMOL, the geniuses that look after the referees in the game today, have announced that Fabinho's late, reckless, studs-up, game-ending tackle in that Brighton game was actually wanting of a red card. Shock. I mean, genuinely, who knew? I mean, certainly Fabinho clearly didn't think it was a red card in any way, shape or form. The fact that he kept holding his hands up, nearly crying and trying to walk off the pitch was probably just because he needed to check the baby monitor to check everything's all right at home. Who knows? More bad news as far as the Reds are concerned with the news that Ibrahima Konate has stepped up his integration into the Liverpool squad in the best way possible. The only way you can get a tighter-knit community with the Liverpool players is to do the right and honest thing and to become the 45th person to pick up a hamstring injury at the Action Training Centre this term. At least it means he's going to spend a little bit more time with Virgil van Dijk. Small positives, small wins. Anyway, yes. And finally, last but by no means least in terms of conversation on the topic, the transfer window slammed shut. It slammed shut. It's closed. No more transfer business. In fact, it's left Liverpool fans around the world frothing at the mouth that the mighty Reds have gone through yet another transfer window without signing a single footballer. What are FSG playing at? What are they doing? The strategy is not working. The strategy of focusing solely on expensive first-choice players at all costs, completely and utterly overlooking bringing in cheaper alternatives who can do a job at any given moment in the football team, is just ridiculous behaviour from Liverpool's spend-shy owners. I think we can all agree. And the most frustrating thing is it continues the incredibly worrying trend of Liverpool simply refusing to spend any money in transfer windows ever. Ridiculous. Another transfer window. Again, every single transfer window without spending money. Anyway, it's an absolute joke. And what it's left is lots and lots of people online, more often than not, with flags in their bios, frothing at the mouth at Liverpool's incredible mismanagement at the hands of Fenway Sports Group, leaving them all gagging for an answer to the question. The question is, when are you going to get out of this club? When are you going to put the club for sale, FSG? Put the club for sale. When are you going to do it? As you can see, it's been a busy week in Liverpool this week. Plenty of things to talk about. We will be beginning with some heavy chat on the situation around Fabinho, but I'm not going to sit here and do it on my own. We've brought in some fantastic guests and, of course, some of the Red Men originals. First and foremost, I'd like to welcome to the studio the man who's dragged himself off the injury table, which makes him very un-Liverpoolian at this point in time. It is Mr. Steehaw. I like the. Was that giving yourself a round of applause there?
Yeah, well, no one else was here to clap for me, so I put the applause better than myself.
Yeah. You right?
I'm good.
Feeling better?
I'm great, but the voice, I don't know. What do you reckon?
I think it's a bit sexy.
I was about to say it's got like a little bit of gravel to it.
Is it like that episode of Friends where Phoebe gets a sexy phlegm thing? Is that what you're
it's called? My tribute to Everton's new manager.
Yes,
that's what it is. Yeah, it's a Liverpool fan. Extraordinary, Mr. Dice. Show yeah, I thought I'd.
Sounds like a rhinoceros having a gangbang in a quarry.
Yeah, I mean, I've never heard that before, but okay.
South. Right, okay, cool. Let me bring in our other co-conspirator from the Red Men Originals, the OG, the man, the legend, Mr. Chris Pajak!
Oh my god.
What, like that enough?
You did. I don't think you knocked the cushion over. Which
no,
is
I saw a tripod move.
Something wobbled.
Yeah. Well, that was just Chris.
Wow, right. Yeah. Anyway, I'm glad to be the second most handsome person on the show for a while.
For now.
For now. I know that... I'm going to get booted down a couple of notches.
Paul's right there. That's right. That's really mean to somebody. That was okay.
Brilliant. Okay. We've got two of the finest arses in the history of Red Men TV. Physically and metaphorically, we're going to bring in an even better one. The swole superstar extraordinaire of Hollyoaks, old school Red Men TV guest. It is wonderful to have the hottest man to set foot into this building. It is Mr. the one, the only, the James Sutton!
Oh, God. In case anyone didn't realise, it is
my birthday, mate. I only found out an hour ago that you're on the wagon. So
oh, thank you. Some alcohol that I'll have to give away, but thanks, Chris.
I'll take it back.
No, it's fine.
Give it to Chris.
No. I might have guests around. At some point.
Well done. Hi, James.
Hi, mate. Thanks for having me.
If anyone hasn't seen James's promo for this show, I asked him because I know. Look, James is in. He's in rude health at the moment.
He's in fire, is what he is.
Phenomenal shape.
Thank you very much.
And I asked you to create a thirst trap promo video, and you like nailed the brief, mate. Absolutely.
Well, you asked me to bench press.
Yeah, something impressive.
So you said bench press something impressive, and I was like, and I did actually try and do a video of me lying down with weight, and I was just bright red and sweaty, and it looked like a completely different type of video. So I thought some squats might get get people watching.
Let's hope so. We'll find out in due course, of course. Thank you so much, James. Stellar wear. It's going to look very odd when one of my kids gets my phone and looks through the photos and there's just James's ass front and centre.
It's my screensaver. So
right, okay, we need to add the final compatriot here on the studio.
It's been so long.
Yeah, we're going to welcome perhaps the funniest Scouser. I don't think...
Yeah?
Is there a funnier Scouser?
No.
He's got to be in the running for it, sure.
I can't think of a funnier Scouser. Well, anyway.
Yeah, maybe his best mate is it's the two of them at the moment.
Carl.
Yeah.
Carl's not as funny as Adam.
I don't know. Carl says some funny shit on their podcast.
But he's not. Anyway, right. So, without further ado, let's bring in the wonderful, the phenomenal, the imperious Adam Rowe.
Let's ask him, are you the funniest Scouser alive?
Maybe. Hiya.
Hey.
Hello. Fucking bullshit theatre.
Yeah, I'm with him.
Been here for 45 minutes. Like, we're stood in a hallway next to a disabled toilet and an overflowing bin. My phone's already here. Just in case anyone's wondering. We arrived an hour ago and they were like, just go and stand in the hall. We're going to do walk-on. Bollocks. I'm gasping.
Yeah, sort yourselves out. Before anyone asks, there are pint glasses. So if anyone wants, there we go, Adam. Well done. Chris has done it. James has. You've got a pint glass there if you want it.
Where? No, Adam.
Have you got next to you? There you go. There's to your left. Okay. Right, so because I realised when we were about to prepare this show that it was called Thursday Night Pint and we had neither ale nor pints. A quick trip.
You pivoted there, didn't you? We've got far too much ale.
Yeah, but hello. It'll keep.
Hello.
Yeah.
A bottle of red wine if it gets really tasty later.
Ooh, very nice indeed.
I do appreciate it, thank you.
Oh, no. Yeah. What a waste. He's like, I've got this bottle of wine. I was like, he made a big stink to me about how he was on the wagon.
In the flat iron after one of the games. About
this is the first day of sobriety.
Oh, just
no, I'm not putting back a day.
Never tell people.
Day of sobriety on Thursday, the 2nd of February.
And also when you're appearing on Thursday night pint.
But where
changes their life on a Thursday. Yeah. So when is the second day of the second month? What are you doing?
Yeah. What kind of psychopath picks a random Thursday in February? This guy.
Why?
Well, okay, so I was 40 on the 31st, and that was like my cutoff.
Right.
And because I drank quite late on my birthday, I was technically still drinking on the 1st.
Right.
So that brings us up to the present day.
Right, okay. Yeah, I can't. Yeah. The only way I'll ever change my life is if like my birthday falls on like Monday the 1st and I was born on the 11th and it's just not going to happen.
It's never going to happen.
I must admit, post-Christmas, in that little like lost time between when there's days have got dates but no names, I decided because I was coming up on my 40th to stop drinking and to start be good in anticipation of my birthday, and then I got absolutely fucked on my party, which most of you saw, and I've not been quite as good.
I aimed for dry January, and then it got to my birthday, the 11th, and I was like, I'll have six tonight. That'll do. Six pints of Guinness.
Six pints of Guinness?
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
That's filling, that, isn't it?
That's less calories. I mean, you're not a big person, what? And it is a solid drink, that, mate.
No, I'd normally put like 12 Guinness away. I was having six to try and behave. I'm not saying this, being like, look how much I can drink.
Is that, that feels like you're carrying an anvil around in your back.
No, that's a myth, that. It's fine. It's dead creamy. It's nice. It's well, it's easier than drinking this. There's no gas in it. Well, there is, but it doesn't like bloat you.
Yeah.
Like 6 pints and also less calories against the common consensus.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay, well, let's talk. As much as we were remiss, and we would all rather not talk about Liverpool, sadly, as much as I'd love to do it, just pivot wildly into a show that doesn't do that. We are going to talk about Liverpool. We are going to talk about Fabinho. And I want to know, what the fuck is wrong with Fabinho? Anyone? Anyone?
I think Steve's got a really good answer for this.
Okay.
Steve.
Okay, yeah, all right. Wow. I personally believe, and I think he's knackered, and I think what's happened to him really genuinely.
A bowler can do that to a man.
He's clearly very ill. Something's gone wrong with him. No, I was thinking the other day, he can't run anymore, and as a bald man who can't run, I relate.
Yeah.
But Matt, unlike him, man isn't because I've ran too much.
Is that like, well, are you going to see Fabinho and be like,
I've got you,
mate.
Yeah,
me and you. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But his has come from running too much. Mine's come from never running at all. And we found ourselves, so who's the real loser? It's probably him. Because he's done all that running and now he can't run anymore. Yeah. I've never ran.
At 29.
And I've never ran. And I'm in the same physical condition, so it's fine for me. But I think he's, honestly, mate, I'll be honest with you. I think years and years and years, he's been called this like the lighthouse and the water carrier and all this. And he's done everyone's running for them. And I think it's just caught up with him. And he can't. I've never been. I was pitch side at Brighton and I was first row. And there was a ball that bounced there. And like five Brighton lads got there before he got there. And he was the closest fella to it. And I was like, he's gone. Like this fella, I felt sorry for him, to be honest. I think he's knackered. And I think. The fact that he's had that job by himself for so long, I think it's just worn him down.
Yeah.
Bless him.
I don't think people fall off that much that quickly. I think it's quite obvious. You know, he's punching massively above his weight and his missus has been pregnant. Imagine how whipped he's been for like the past 6 months in the build-ups of giving that play. He's doing fucking everything around the house. He can say no to nothing. Yeah. Everything she wants, she gets, including like, she could go build me a conservatory and he's just got to fucking do it. He's knackered from doing housework and just being at her beck and call. Yeah. That's what it is.
And particularly, she's probably got a bit of a grump on since that fascist president didn't win. that she was well behind as well.
Wasn't great.
Well,
that. She, yeah. Wasn't great that for them, was it?
No.
Yeah.
Wasn't great.
She's the fascist of their house. That's what it is. She's gone under the thumb.
I haven't seen a drop off of a player in such spectacular fashion in a long time.
Yeah.
Like up until what? Like March last year. Like he was, I mean, he's been spoken about as, you know, in the team of the year, and there's nominations for this, and this is, you know, this is the best defensive midfielder in world football. And then he just went shit almost overnight. And the back end of last season, he wasn't great at all. And his character to carry that through into this season is mental. He's terrible, and you're absolutely right. He looks exhausted, poor fella.
He's not. It doesn't look like they're splitting the get-ups, are they, Chris?
No, he's doing all the get-ups at night. They're breastfeeding, but she's expressing, and it's pure. He's getting up in the middle of the night, warming the fucking breast milk up, feeding every 2.5 hours, because that's the only reason he can possibly be this shit.
What he needs to learn, and I learned this by child number two, is just to, in the middle of the night with the feeding, just roll over and just give a slight conciliatory supportive pat to let you know that you're aware that they're awake and feeding the child. And then, most importantly, go the fuck straight back to sleep, because your own health is just as important as that newborn baby.
And also, he's on, what, 200 grand a week? He's like, listen, love, I know you're doing all the work, but at least you're doing it in a fucking mansion and not a fucking council flat, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's because I play for Liverpool, and they're not going to fucking let me continue to play for Liverpool unless I'm good at footy anymore. I also think, realistically, I think no one's talking about the fact that, like, how many Brazilians play well into the 30s.
That's a good point.
Brazilians always fall off late 20s. Coutinho fell off. Kaká fell off, even though he was great up until a point. Pato fell off at like 22. Like, Brazilians very rarely have very, very long careers. Even Ronaldo, like, they just, it's a peak, and then they're like, as soon as they drop a bit, it's like they give up. And I don't, is there a Brazilian player that played like into the 33, 34?
Is Neymar 30 now? Is he close?
Maybe.
Probably in the 30s, but to the point.
I've never really thought that's
not doing him no favours as well. I think that's what's hurting him as well. And also, I'll be honest with you, I think that it's hard to be DM when the rest of the team shit.
I think that
puts the spotlight more on you. So it's a bit like I was saying, our defensive midfielder and our centre halves are like a flood barrier.
Yeah.
But they're in like a fucking flood zone. They used to be like in a desert and no one ever tested it. It was like, oh, it's sound, don't worry about it, I'll just keep that drop of rain, like, kick that away. And now it's like fucking burst.
Is he like an oxbow lake?
Yeah, he's a little
so bit like on the surface lake. It looks fine, but underneath there's just this big fucking hole been gouged out of him by being basically water pressure for all these
and
years.
I think the fact that everyone around him doesn't run anymore and doesn't tackle anyone anymore, and then you get to him and he's like, oh fuck.
I thought up until a few weeks ago that he was absolutely fine and it was just the other midfielder's problem. And then Bajcetic comes in and you're like, oh no, there's a big problem here. If Bajcetic can do it with basically the same midfield as either side of him, then there's a big issue.
Bajcetic is like young and he's hungry and he's got that about him. And physically has got more about him because he's got youth on his side, which I does think help. But I do think he's right in that it is a systemic problem. It's the rest of the team more than anything else. Like Fabinho has dropped off. But it doesn't have to be one or the other. Both of those things can be true, and I think it is both of them. Like, Wijnaldum ran more than anyone. And I know it's been a full year since he's been there. We're missing him. Henderson's legs are well on the way out now. Like, I was critical of him early in his Liverpool career. Became a big fan of him. At the end of the day, he can't keep doing what he's been doing. He isn't physically able to do it. And when he does it, he will just keep getting injured. So they're running less. And when there's, I think Fabinho was always seemed to be in the right place to intercept balls. Because we put our opponents under such pressure, they couldn't pick a good one. And they were just kicking it. And he was like, oh, I know where they're going to spoon this too. I'll just go and stand there. And he looked amazing because of the system. Like, people talk about Trent Alexander-Arnold looking amazing because of Liverpool's system. Fabinho looked even better than he ever was because of Liverpool's system and the fact that opponents clearing the ball could never put it right where they wanted it. And he knew where they were going to badly pass it to. He was really good at being in the right place at the right time.
And that's
when
the
there's
high
no pressure on the ball, they go, hang on, Fabinho's there. Best just to put it 6 yards to the right of him. And when they've got time on the ball to do it, he can't do what he's been doing for the past 5 years.
I agree with all of this. There is also a slight consideration that he's been called by us like the best DM in the world at times. You know, he's certainly been one of the best Liverpool have ever had. And he's reached the heights. You know, he's been that team that got 97 points, been the team that got 99 points. He's been to two of the three Champions League finals, won it once. And yet he's behind Fred in the pecking order for Brazil. Do you reckon there's a point in your life where you just look and go, what's the point? What's the point?
Well, I think the whole Liverpool team has done that to a point. Yeah. I've been saying this since... This was my big worry when we lost that final. And then the parade sort of made me go, oh, maybe we'll be all right because there seems to be a good energy around it. But to put as much effort in as Liverpool have in the past 4 or 5 years to compete on every front and to come away from with one Premier League title and one Champions League, and you watch a Man City who, you know, the year we won the league, they had a year off, really. They went, nah, fuck it, Liverpool have won it, we'll just take a bit of time off. And we pissed it. Every other year where they've gone, no, we're going to have a fight here, like, let's face it, we've lost. And it's because of the resources they've got. It's got to get to a point as a footballer where you're fighting for every inch in every game, and Klopp has got that out of them. And they're doing it and fighting for every inch in every game, in all four competitions, playing in every single game it's possible to play in, and you come away with it, come away from it with a Carabao Cup and an FA Cup. How can you possibly convince that exact same group of players, oh, by the way, let's do that again and hope it's different this year?
Is there another point, Chris? Because we've done it loads. Everyone keeps going, too many. Too many. Liverpool tried to buy too many in the summer and didn't. And we're so focused on that because of how Liverpool strengthened the midfield. They wanted a midfielder. They clearly wanted a midfielder. We've all said it. They so clearly wanted a midfielder because of the and they chose not to. And they so clearly want Bellingham. It must be a little bit of Fabinho of like, they're desperate to replace me here. And then all of a sudden, I'm now the guy who's left continues to play. I mean, there's got to be an impact in that regard of like basically being told we're trying to replace you or we've not been able to replace you.
The flip side of that, though, of course, is that Liverpool have come out and said we weren't looking to upgrade in the midfield options. You know, they've done the same in January. They decided to go and get Gakpo instead of a midfielder. So if that is true, the flip side's also true, which is, oh no, they've deemed us all right. The problem he's got is he's behind an 18-year-old in the team. That will hurt his ego more than absolutely anything.
And rightly so.
Bajic deserves to be in the side right now. Fabinho hasn't played at the level that he needs to play at. But I think Adam's spot on. The high press is what allowed us to make Fabinho look so good. You know, winning the ball back high up the pitch, making it difficult for him. He was 35 yards from goal, picking the ball up and playing a pass to whoever the fuck he wanted to. Now it's a complete opposite. We can't press from the front. We've changed to a mid-block side now anyway. The three lads up front don't know each other's games. We can't score goals. We concede too many goals. And the defence has been shit and injured as well. Like, what are you supposed to do as a DM? You need to give him the right foundations to perform. We can't give him that, and we're expecting him to perform.
I think that's
it's not just Fabinho, is it?
I think it's true, but I think that foul at the weekend actually showed how far off he is.
Yeah.
Because that's a tackle you do, it's either you're really, really nasty and you're trying to really hurt someone, or you are so late to the ball because you're miles off it, and that's what it showed to me. Is that
it was all over? It was all over his face after the tackle. He knew exactly that he was
late. He couldn't believe he stayed on.
And he shouldn't have.
He was walking away going, oh, "I'm gone." He could see him saying to the players, "I'm gone here."
But that isn't. He wasn't being nasty. He wasn't. No. I don't think he was trying to do the fella.
No, he was just late.
But he's like 3 yards late. Mm. And usually, Fabinho would either win that ball or he'd do that foul that never got him booked. Because he was only like a millisecond late, and you get away with those ones.
That's my foul in five aside because I'm too slow. Yeah. Like I'm not being nasty. I'm just going to foul you 10 times a game because I'm fucking slow.
And that's what he was. Yeah,
it was. A little bit of nastiness in there.
I think in some ways it's hard. It's difficult to pick just Fabinho out because I think it's a Liverpool problem as much as it is a Fabinho problem. It's across the board. You know, we had this amazing side that burned incredibly brightly, but for only that period of time. And because of lack of transfer activity, because of injuries, because of Manchester City, because of now you've got Newcastle, you've got Manchester United who are back, all of these factors coming into play, confidence, the hangover from last season, like Adam was talking about, all of these things together mean we are where we are. You know, it's hard to blame one person.
Yeah, but I agree with Steve's point there. It had all the hallmarks of like, he knows he's not right. He knows it's gone.
Klopp's been screaming at him. Yeah. I mean,
that tackle though was just like, you know, when you just like you believe in his own negative pipe. He knows because he's walking off the pitch. Mm. He's like, I'm getting sent off for that, and it's like, what the fuck are you doing? That's a man whose head's not right in any way, shape, or form. He's not backing himself. He doesn't believe that he's turning this round. It's like he's done that wrong and gone, oh god, oh clumsy, this clumsy old me. God, I knew that was going to happen. I'm crap. It's like, mate, I don't know what the answer is. Whether he's had time off.
See, I think it's the opposite. I think he needs to stop coming on. He's been. If I was Jürgen, I would say just have a week, have a couple of weeks off, just go and sub, because he's, every game that he's been subbed on, he came on against Wolves and was crap. He got worse. Come on against Chelsea, was crap and we got way worse. And
it's not just Fabinho he's bringing on at the same time, though, remember? There's other lads he's bringing on, like the captain, who's coming on and we're getting worse.
No, absolutely, I agree.
I also don't think Fabinho has ever come on, even in his height as a Liverpool player, and improved the game. I think he's a player who has to start games. If he's not fit enough to start, he shouldn't be playing.
Yeah.
He struggles to get up to a game that's already at full pace. He always has.
He's saving Bacetic. That's his job now. His job's not. It doesn't look like we're trying to get rehabilitate Fabinho. We're just Bacetic is too young to do 90 minutes.
Well, he looks knackered after 70 minutes. Exactly. That's his problem.
So that Fabinho
he's
is
for 50.
He's from the Thiago school of get your yellow early, get out the way kind of thing. You know what I mean? He's in that one.
No, fascinating stuff. But if you're watching, let us know what your thoughts are on the Fabinho situation. We have had some comments more pertaining to the start of the show as much as anything else. People answering the question of is Adam the funniest Scouser? Josh Payne said. John Bishop.
Not Scouser?
Is he a Scouser?
He's from Runcorn, isn't he?
Yeah.
Is that not Scouser? I don't know.
No.
And look, John is a colleague. And,
any sentence that starts as a colleague.
From him.
John's an honorary Scouser, at the very least. I think he was born in Liverpool, was raised in Runcorn, but I don't know that for sure. He's done a lot with his career, and if I can mirror it then. Then great.
This is like asking Stefan Bacetic if he's better than Fabinho. This is he's an excellent trainer.
Like, I'm like, it's all about
he's won the lot, hasn't he?
Yeah, you know, I've won the Golden Boot and Player of the Year, and you know, I'm linked with a 200 million move to Real Madrid. But the main thing is beating Southampton today.
Absolutely brilliant. Stephen Graham's funnier as well, according to Paul Smith.
Jesus,
not a comedian, now, is he?
No.
An actor.
He's the most requested guest we ever have for our podcast.
Really?
Have you reached out to him?
No, we won't get him on unless he talk about that picture of him holding the Sun newspaper.
Yeah. It's a shame, that, isn't it?
It's fair enough. I mean,
if he come on and was like, here's what happened and here's why and I'm sorry about it, but he wouldn't do that. Like, I think he's a phenomenal actor, but like, it's almost like the Scouse pride I have when I say Scouse are doing well, I haven't got that for him anymore. Because like he's got that picture of him promoting stuff in the Sun, and if anyone tweets him about it, he just blocks them.
Does he?
Yeah. I've had mates tweet him and go, "What about this picture, though, Steve?" And then it just comes up, Stephen Graham blocked you. And I think he's maybe the best actor the UK's produced in the past 20 years. I think he's absolutely
bit unfair. Like,
I mean, pleasant coming to your side.
Sat right here.
I know.
What I thought was really
he considered all of his options.
I knew.
He doesn't even like. Yeah. Nice.
He fucking hates Stephen Graham.
He absolutely can't squat like you don't make touch sound.
You're right, you can't. Jesus Christ. Nobody can. No, genuinely nobody can. Right, sad. Keep your thoughts coming in on Fabinho. That'd be great. We are going to take a very short interlude while we highlight our supporters club of the week. Just want to make known there are some incredible fans supporting this incredible football team around the globe, doing some brilliant things and getting up at random times of the day. I've said this many times before. If Liverpool kicked off at 2 o'clock in the morning, I would follow something else.
We don't know we're born, do we?
Don't know we're born. So big love to our supporters club of the week, which is the Japan OLSC. Absolutely incredible stuff. Yeah, if you're involved with a supporters club, official or unofficial, get in touch with us, interact at theredmentv.com. If you want to film some bits and pieces that you're doing in and around match days and send it in, we'll put a little feature together and give you guys some love on the show. Yeah, very much loving the international fan base. We talk about it all the time, don't we, Chris? You know, we go and do pre-seasons. It's always amazing to see how many people, again, it goes back to that point, I find it wild that someone would get up at that time of the morning to do anything, let alone throw your emotions on the potential bonfire to watch Liverpool play. So, yeah, much love.
It's hard enough when we lose at getting up at fucking for 12:30. Never mind fucking 2 o'clock in the morning or something, isn't it? It's unbelievable. Whenever we've gone away and we've done the tours and stuff, you realise how big this football club is, mate, and it's baffling. Like, I'm just watching that video for the first time then, that was wicked.
I was in the USA when we got beat by Nottingham Forest and got up at 7 o'clock to watch that. If I was an American Liverpool fan, I wouldn't be a Liverpool fan, I don't think.
Yeah, I watched Liverpool play Chelsea a few years. You know when Salah scored that absolute bastard of a shot from,
yeah,
cut him from the right and put it in the top corner? I watched that in Carragher's Bar in New York, and that was like 10 o'clock in the morning, and it went fucking ballistic. And no, last time I came in, we had Alfie Brown on with us.
Yeah.
He was in Australia last year for the title running, like before like the Champions League final and that, and he was in Australia for the festivals over there, and he was just sending me videos every morning. It's like silly. It's like 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning. He's getting up to watch Liverpool games. It was great.
So I've got a good one for you, right? Arsenal's a blue, as everyone knows, my brother and stuff. And obviously we'd been to America a few years ago, and we'd been to San Francisco, San Jose and LA and stuff. And I was sending him the videos of how box it was and how many people were there for the live shows and all that type of stuff. And he goes and works over in San Francisco. He works for Sony. So one of their head offices is over there. Send him over there. He does some work and stuff. And he's got an Everton game. And he just sends me this video. I'm going there tonight, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, box mate, enjoy it, all that type of stuff, like as you do. And he sends me this video at the bar. It's completely empty, and it's the barman and him. They're the only people in the friggin' bar watching the Everton game at 2 o'clock. I don't even think the barman was an Everton fan. I think it was just him.
Was it an Everton bar?
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's bleak.
Right, cool. Yes, interact at theredmentv.com if you've got any stuff you want us to showcase on the show, by all means. Right, we've got a brand new feature. We're going to move things on. We're going to be doing Rate My Take. Oh, wasn't sure we had that for a moment. That's why I said it so slowly.
Got no confidence in this.
Yeah, no, absolutely. First time around. God, yeah. We're good. Expecting teething problems. Joe's nailed it, to be fair.
That's the jinx of all jinx.
Yeah.
Something's going to go wrong.
Yeah, more so highlighting it. But thanks. The name of the game on this one is that I asked you guys to send me in your most controversial or most die on the hill for all eternity football thoughts, feelings, conspiracy theories or anything. What we're going to do is we're going to consult the panel. We're going to throw some out there. We're going to talk about them, whether we enjoy the legitimacy, whether we think they're onto something, whether we think they're absolute crackpot knobheads. And then we're going to give them a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Speaking of the first show, there are giant thumbs, foam thumbs, somewhere in the postal service. So maybe by next week we'll have them.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, if you can just make your hands look as big as possible.
Hey, these fellas just threw it over the back.
so what, I'm going to put my hand by my cock. Nice one.
Right, so the first take of the week comes from Gaurav, who's at BooNY6. And he says, Barry over Alonso made a ton of sense. Rafa knew he would leave the minute Madrid comes calling, and Barry was a really good player in his own right. So Gaurav thinks Gareth Barry, Rafa Benitez was right to try and bin off Xabi Alonso in place of Gareth Barry.
Stuart Downing looked brilliant in a Villa team.
Didn't he?
There's my answer.
Counterpoint, Gareth Barry was good for Manchester City.
Yeah, Barry had a really great season for Villa, and Alonso had his worst season for Liverpool when this was happening.
And he was Steven Gerrard's best mate, and I think Rafa was still afraid of Gerrard leaving. I think that might have played into it as well.
Having said all of that, no.
There's the light at the end of the tunnel.
Like, I can understand why he would go, do you know what? I'm going to write into this show I like and watch because I want my letter to be read out. And if I say something stupid like this, I'll definitely be in the show. I get it. You look, and you're on camera and we're talking about your thing, okay? But you're a fucking idiot, and you know you are. And that's just a fact, isn't it? And you know you are as well. You don't actually have this opinion. You've written it in because you knew we'd do this. And you know what? You've got it. You've won. You've won. But I'm not letting you have the victory without calling it out for what it is, which is a sham.
And also, Steve, Alonso was pretty decent after he left Liverpool.
Mate, I don't agree with the take. I was just talking
you
around.
You said Gareth Barry was good at Manchester City, completely forgetting that Alonso had a decent career.
He was good at football as well. I was just saying, I agree, it's a bad take. It's not a good take.
It's a very
if the giant foam thumb was here, it would be pointing downwards, trust me.
It's a very unsexy shout, Gareth Barry, is it? That's
like, his name is unsexy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like Milner was in that category, it still is in that category where you go, James Milner, people go, oh, James Milner, and you go, oh, he's got the record number of assists in a single Champions League season, and either people walk away or roll their eyes at you.
His name, like, Gareth isn't, with all due respect, Xavi, I mean.
Yeah, and Zabby as well.
Okay, well, yeah, whatever.
So what are we saying? Thumbs up?
Called him, well.
Thumbs up, thumbs down?
I'm giving Steve a
thumbs
down.
Go on, let me see your thumbs.
Let me see those thumbs.
Thumbs down all around on Gaurav's shout, unfortunately. Steve Carson, SJR Carson on Twitter. Fabio Barini.
No.
Thumbs down. No. Thumbs down.
No fucking way.
Fabio Barini was one decent run of form away from being a very good striker for us.
No, he wasn't. That's bullshit.
He had such a great celebration, though. He did have, that was great, man. I love all that nonsense. Love
he
it.
He really wanted to be a Liverpool player.
Nothing to back it up.
Mm. He really wanted to.
So I really want to be a Liverpool player.
I know. Yeah, I'm not saying I agree with it, Chris. Will you let people finish? I think the man's a lunatic, of course I do. Trying to make the show last longer than 12 minutes. Right? If we just call them all dickheads with no real reason behind it, we'll be out of here by fucking 8 o'clock, mate. Fabio Barini was not good enough to play for Liverpool. However, he would have really liked to have been. That's all I'm saying, okay? Do I need to say it that way round?
Can I just, like, so he was, I was one good run of driving a car really fast away from being Lewis Hamilton. Yeah. He was one run.
I was a bigger erection away than I'm capable of having for being a porn star. Yeah.
The reason he never got that run of form was because he was fucking crap.
If I was born with more natural ability, then I'd have been better at the thing I was trying to do. Yeah.
Can I offer a take? I think if Daniel Sturridge hadn't been injury prone, he'd have been a better player than Benzema.
The Benzema?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I think you were on smooth sailing straight to four thumbs up there, lad. And what you've done is you've took a hard left there when you could have named any number of Liverpool players.
Yeah, but he's better than most Liverpool players anyway, even with his injuries.
I think he was sensational.
Yeah, exactly. Without his injuries, if he could have just played.
Why have you said Benzema?
Because I think Benzema was sort of in the shadow of Cristiano Ronaldo.
Okay.
The same way Sturridge was in the shadow of Suarez.
Ah, okay.
And I think Benzema's had this great career and gone on to win a Ballon d'Or now.
Right.
And I don't think that would have been out of the realms of possibility for Daniel Sturridge.
Right, let's get the Fabio Barini nonsense out the way. Thumbs down.
Yeah.
Adam's take?
No, not Benzema. I agree to a point, to be honest with you.
I can't hear any slander against Daniel Sturridge. I know saying he's not as good as Benzema isn't necessarily slander.
What can Benzema do that Sturridge couldn't?
But Daniel Sturridge gave me one of the best seasons of my life.
I think if you'd drawn it under and gone as good as Fernando Torres.
I think he's already...
Even if he said better than Fernando Torres.
I think he's better than Torres anyway.
A better goal scorer than Torres.
I think Benzema gets properly underrated throughout his entire career, to be honest with you, because you just do not stay in a Real Madrid side for 10 years without being fucking
no
brilliant.
But they have tried to ship Morton a couple of times. He's been linked with Man United like 4 or 5
he stayed there and he's, on the flip he's side, Ballon d'Or.
He was Man United Simao. You know, we were linked with Simao like every 6 months. Benzema was going to United every transfer window for about 5 years.
I'll
give you my take. Daniel Agger was a shit defender. I thought he was fucking terrible. Absolutely useless defender. Everyone loved him for scoring against fucking Aston Villa.
There's the Daniel Agger interview. Vetoed.
Yeah. You've got this take, and you had this take for a while, but no.
I just think
every time it leaves your mouth, the Daniel Agger slander gets greater. It started off with, I don't get why people actually adore Daniel Agger. I didn't think he was that good. And now you're like, he was the worst defender
ever. That's what you do on the internet.
Okay, here's my question then. If you could pick one defender in their at their best to join the current Liverpool side, would you pick Daniel Agger or Martin Skrtel?
Ooh, Daniel Agger.
Good. Okay, thank you for that.
Don't get me started on Martin Skrtel. If you think I think Daniel Agger's bad, Martin Skrtel.
Okay, should we get back to people's takes? This is great, by the way. Love that we're having this. You guys are all lovely. Demetrius.
I have got like a true team leader there.
That was so loaded, wasn't
it? Really funny, guys, but we have got a meeting to get on with. Yeah. We haven't hit the...
I did it.
I've only got 45 minutes of Zoom. I'm okay, 42.
I was having lunch before. I had a guy on it on a Zoom call or whatever. His headphones, having an important business meeting, and he used the expression, as I always my business mantra, as I always say, is that you should always deliver. And
was it Balotelli?
Yeah, I was like, I'm hoping he's a postman at the very least. But
delivery driver.
My business mantra. Dimitris Koumsidis, yeah, nailed that. What Luis Suarez did in the World Cup against Ghana was what anyone else would have done in his position, and he had every right to celebrate like he did. 3-2-1
1,000,000%.
Yeah. I adore that. And I adore the fact that it comes around all the time, and you still do get people fuming about it. No disrespect. If I was Ghanaian, I would absolutely think he was the worst human being on the face of planet Earth. But
he might be anyway.
He might be. Oh, yeah, exactly. Go on.
I'll take that take one step further and say what he did wasn't cheating.
He got a red card, didn't he? So it's just a foul.
I don't think it's cheating. He's within the laws of the game. He was like, I can stop this going in, and it means I get sent off. And I've made the decision to do that. It's not cheating.
Because he didn't pretend he didn't handball it.
No, he went, I did that. Should I go and get a shower? Can I just watch them miss this penalty first before I do that? And then just, I don't think it's cheating.
Same mentality as Fabinho then, really, isn't it? Winner's mentality. He knows what he's done. He's prepared to admit it.
He did not cheat. He made a decision and was like, I'm going to just do this because I'm allowed to do it within the laws of the game. It just means that my team has to play with 10 men.
Got it. I'm agree. Absolute agreement. Here's one for you. Motorway Services at Gretna Services. Go ahead. Liverpool's academy is genuinely atrocious at meeting its stated purpose, which is to produce quality youngsters for the first team.
I'm not sure that is actually what they're supposed to do in terms of what the football club wants. I think that's what every fan wants them to do. I think every fan wants them to get players who are going to fill the side. But ultimately, they're supposed to sell players for 10, 15 million that pays for the academy. And you might get one or two every few years to get into the side. And at that, I think if you look at, you know, Kurt Jones, people will disagree on whether he's a good player or not, but he's into the first team squad at the moment. Yep. So he's done it. Trent Alexander-Arnold's done it over the last couple of years as well.
Sterling did it before that.
They're not the best. They're better, but they do actually balance the books.
But the teams that are the best aren't winning European and Premier League titles. That's the thing. Yeah. It's very rare that a club has the academy that produces all the best players
the class
in the world
of 92 is and it, wins isn't it? Everything.
Well, you can't do it anymore. The standards have changed. The parameters have changed now. You can't run a football club like that. I think the class of 92s, that's probably a really, really good example. Back then, that was absolutely great. That was brilliant to do because no one else was doing it to
Liverpool
that level.
And Liverpool brought through at that time, Fowler, McManaman, Matteo Harkness. There was loads in that team.
And you've got Owen and you've got Gerrard.
You know, also, people don't understand, it's dead hard to get the next Trent Alexander-Arnold in the team because there's fucking Trent Alexander-Arnold in the team. With all due respect, Trent Alexander-Arnold had to be better than Nathaniel Clyne, who was a good right-back. Yeah. To get into Liverpool side, I mean, granted, now it's different, and that's why Pochettino just got in, but you've got to be brilliant. So I'm with Chris, is that I think Liverpool's academy serving a purpose, because if you start looking around the Championship or lower end of the Premier League or in Scotland or whatever, you'll see ex-Liverpool players who have been sold for 5-10... Never mind United's academy. I used to always think, like, fucking John O'Shea, you'd come in, play, and then get sold for, like, 10 million. That's how you judge an academy. And then every so often, you might get the absolute superstar, because, like, look at Man City now. Phil Foden's the gem, and they've got this new lad coming through at fullback. But like, they don't have that much more, because it's dead hard to get into these teams. If you've got 7-8 academy lads in your side was probably a bit shit.
Yeah.
And also, but also, you a lot of the time you need a player that's going to come walk straight in, and you know what I mean. You haven't, you know, we're not given that time now to develop these players. You, it was like we were saying before about, you know, at the top of the show when you're talking about getting new players in and how much we know we need a player and how angry people are about it. That feeds directly into that narrative as well. You can't, we haven't got time to be, we need ready-made players that are world-class that can walk in and improve this team. That's the fundamental bottom line of it.
You know, our academy is good at the moment is going and signing youngsters from other clubs and bringing them through. They've done that really, really well. So Bichetta just is one of them, but like, Ben Doak,
Carvalho,
Kay Gordon, I think it's still, you know, we'll see how he gets on. Bobby Clark, who's been around the first team, Keith Kelleher.
It depends all what you mean by the academy thing, yeah, though, doesn't it? Because if we're talking lads who join Liverpool at 8 and then end up in the first team, then even then we're doing all right because you've got Curtis Jones and Trent Alexander-Arnold. In addition to that, we're then adding players, you know, other players to the mix that we're bringing in at a decent age. Be warned there, Hot Crisps. I want to get you. I'll get your take on them. They said dead hot and
yeah, hot.
Okay, so messages tomorrow morning. Let me know what you got on.
People always say that about hot stuff, but I have like permanent diarrhea, so I don't notice the difference.
They sort of
you can give me food poisoning. I just think I've had a nice meal.
They kind of grow on you a little bit, don't they? Mm.
Yeah. But yeah,
good.
Do you not think they're really hot?
They're all right.
What's happened to your mouth?
It drinks 12
pints of Guinness
a night.
I really wish we had 12 pints of Guinness in here right now, to be honest. Yeah, they're all right. Next when time. You go to Nando's, what spice do you get?
Medium.
That's all right. I get hot.
Medium's like, okay, isn't it? Medium's yeah. Not like...
fucking mild. Who am I trying to impress?
Me.
Adam Rose.
I judge people on how spicy they get their Nando's.
Oh, you're going to hate my fucking thoughts on Nando's. It is fucking shit.
It's fine, but it's a restaurant for people who
don't want to go to McDonald's anymore.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. Who've graduated from McDonald's to going on dates with, you know, in your 20s. It's Mackey's for people in their 20s.
It's just, you know what you're getting with it. It's safe. It's 3.5 stars. It's just, it's not going to be dog shit. It's just going to... You know exactly what you're getting. You're not expecting anything. You just
Liverpool's academy is genuinely atrocious at meeting its stated purpose, which is to produce quality youngsters for the first team. Damn. This is
yeah,
so. Side.
I just think I know what he means, and you know, to just have Trent in it, obviously.
We all
Jones.
Know what he means.
Yeah,
that's why we're saying wrong.
Yeah, I think you know you would like Liverpool to be producing one or two more that actually. You know, like the era of Gerrard and McManaman and Owen and stuff. I think
to call it a failure is a bit harsh.
Yeah, a failure. That's
call
why
it genuinely atrocious. Is the
yeah, that's why I did this and
okay,
this.
So. Okay,
but Chetich could change that.
Yep. Yeah, Curtis Jones is the weird one because I really, really, really want him to do well, but I actually don't. I don't think he's going to be there super long term. I think he needs to go and play every week for Brighton.
Well, Paul Tompkins was a great piece on this, and I shared the video that he put in his piece this week. Tyler Morton's highlight reel from this season, and you know, yeah, you go, yeah, it's a championship, blah blah blah. But Harvey Elliott did a season in the championship, and now he's capable of being a competitive player, member of Liverpool's first team squad. I'd love to see Kirk go to a team, play a full season, and go and done it. Anyway.
Be an absolute bastard of a player. Yeah. He needs a season.
Jason Roberts at Jason Roberts says, if you're playing a back four, your two centre backs are not allowed to both be left footed. If this happens, the world will explode. Might got a bit far. Both being right footed is fine, but two lefties equals the end of days.
Yeah, you can't.
I don't know why it's true.
You can't have two lefties at centre
half. I feel genuinely like passionately discriminated against with the
examples of two. Left
no, no, well, Liverpool had...
Is the world still here?
Fair.
Liverpool yeah. had a point where they had Julian Dix, Neil Ruddock, Phil Babb, Steve Harkness, all left-footed. We had three... It was a point where we played three left-footed centre-halves in a back three, and that's the closest we've ever seen. So you look in time, Cock, where two of the same people can't play the same space. Yeah, probably not.
I don't know.
No, almost certainly not. Because, again, it's the universe...
You're just not allowed to do it.
Okay, agreed. Agreed. Big thumbs up from everyone. Jason Roberts has nailed that
like,
one.
Also, sadly. Like...
I don't care.
The left... the right footers can go and play left back, but the left footers ever go and play right back?
No. We'll play Liverpool would rather play a centre half at right back than play Kostas Tsimikas at right back.
But they'll happily throw a right back over left back when needed.
I actually think Tsimikas would be great at right back for Liverpool.
I do as well.
Put in and just twat past the Liverpool.
Right, Sy Brundish, our friend and hero and arguably the most argumentative man on social media.
Oh, I know him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just literally puts Howard Webb. And we all know what he means by Howard Webb.
Yeah.
Does anyone need explaining?
Yeah.
Howard Webb, the idea that he was basically on the payroll of Manchester United. Ryan Babel got a fine from the FA for putting out the picture of him in the Man United shirt and stuff. Do we think Howard Webb was biased?
Yeah.
Manchester
United? I hate them.
I've never been so more infuriated by a referee, I don't think, in my adult life.
Yeah.
Cool.
Ball prick.
The current crop of fucking...
I can say that you can't.
Yeah. David Coote. Oh. Yeah. I don't know why it's his face, you know. David Coote's face. And Paul Tierney looks like he's refereeing games filled with players who all bullied him.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? It's like he hates all of them. He's like, no, remember when you stole me lunch money? Yellow card. But I didn't do anything. Nah, fuck off. I hate him.
To use a line that you've actually cut from our appearance on Have A Word pods. Some people deserve to be bullied, and he was one of them, I think.
Did we cut that?
Jeez, probably that wasn't going to go in the podcast. Just
there. I reckon that might have gone out. You know, we don't cut anything.
There you go. Yeah, some of those.
I've just realised that's the bar we've got in our studio. Is that from IKEA?
That is from. This is an IKEA table.
Yeah. Yeah. We use that as our bar unit in the new studio. Anyway.
Thanks for that.
ADHD.
Finally, the final rate my take is going to test us all to our very limits. Kristen Sturt, who's our footy writer, is a long-term friend of ours from the Bow Street days, and a Chelsea fan.
He is a very much a Chelsea fan.
Says, I'm adamant that all Liverpool fans are fully aware Luis Garcia's ghost goal didn't cross the line, but the lie has gone on too long now that essentially every Liverpool fan just came to a mutual understanding that they'll never admit anything else.
No, it crossed the line.
I think it's funny.
It crossed the line.
Absolute nonsense. No idea what he's talking about.
I think it would have benefited us more if it didn't cross the line.
Penalty red cards.
Penalty red card. The referee has come up and said, I'd have sent him off. Like, so, okay, cool. It never crossed the line. You should have had a man sent off. We'd have beat you 3-0.
Also, it's funny that I don't think it crossed the line, and that makes it way funnier.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because fuck Chelsea.
It defo didn't cross the line. It didn't get, like, if you're talking about, like, percentage of ball that needs to cross all of the line, it didn't come close to crossing the line. Like, that ball that nearly crossed the line in the Man City game a couple of years ago, and it was like a millimetre when John Stones cleared it. That crossed the line 40% more than the Luis Garcia goal did. Yeah, like, yeah. You can see it. It didn't go over all of the line. But you're lucky that it didn't, because you'd have got slapped. We'd have beat you 3-0. That Good Johnson chance would never have happened. Good Johnson would have been subbed to replace the keeper. Like, shut up.
That being said,
was it 18 years ago?
Is that how long? How long was 2005 ago? Is that how
18
shit
years
off?
Ago.
Jesus Christ! Shit off!
We had this conversation the other day.
Christian, let it go, man. Fucking let it go.
You've beat us loads since then, lad.
You've won the European Cup twice since then, and you hadn't won it before then.
Mad that they've won it twice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Have United only got three?
Yeah.
Isn't that mad?
Yeah.
Chelsea have got their one title away. I always forget that Tuchel won it with them, you know.
Yeah.
Like, that's not really...
Was it Di Matteo who won the first one?
Yeah. Like, it's not really in my brain that more recently than us, Chelsea have been European champions.
I'm a big fan of
anything that happened after 2020 and before the start of this season, I've dismissed it. Just COVID. Like, it's one blob.
It doesn't feel like it happened. Yeah.
That season never happened, apart from Nat Phillips and Reece Williams. You know what I mean? It's like, we'll have that photo.
Alisson's goal and Nat Phillips.
It was so much better that Chelsea won it than City, though.
Yeah.
So much better.
And you get... So they've only won it twice in their entire history.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we still get to sing, like Nottingham Forest, you've won it two times. That's fine. That'll do for me. Right, OK. So, Kristen Sturt, are we going to lift the curtain back and say that it didn't cross the line?
Oh, it didn't cross the line. We all know it,
ever. I'm not...
Not prepared
to admit it.
No. It can never be proven, even though it was. They got like a computer
You know how it can be proven with video footage, like,
by looking,
just with my eyes.
Do you want the actual truth? I knew it didn't cross the line on the night. I watched one replay and I was like, "Fucking hell, we got away with that." You want the actual truth? We've been lying for 18 years.
Yeah, you're welcome.
True. Right, sounds okay. That is right, my take. Thank you so much. If you want to get them involved, tweet them to me at @ThePaulMachin, and we'll do some more of them next week. We're going to take a very, very short break to promote some things that we think you should be diverting your attention towards when you're done with this. Take a look at these wonderful things.
Terrorists have fell off. Listen, love, we're shocker. The moon is in retrograde. Right, look, I do understand that that joke goes to, like, racist VAR. What kind of fucking murderer eats the peppers and the onions? Get on the ground! We know what you've done! Get back to your crossword, love. Four down. Just go fuck yourself. People will celebrate her death. This has been amazing. Thank you so much.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Class, yes. Check out Adam's YouTube special, Imperious, now on YouTube. Just search Adam Rowe special. That's what I did when we were trying to find the trailer to rip before to put it here. We've got these guys are going to be sticking with us after this show. If you think it's been a bit daft so far, wait till you check out Red Men Uncensored. We're just going to have a random freeform chat about stuff.
Well, no, that is... will be like...
Yeah.
So this is the structured one.
Look, I'm not saying that Adam's going to unleash his thoughts on Mason Greenwood because I can't, you know, there's obviously very complicated legal situations around that, but just saying, redmenplus.com, Redmen Uncensored, in a bit. Right, let's talk Liverpool Wolves. I mean, ultimately, again, it's these pricks. I'm so bored of seeing Liverpool play Wolves, but here we go.
It's just Groundhog Day, isn't it?
It's fucking crap. I thought we went Liverpool then. Well, that's...
Is this our fourth game against Wolves this year?
Yeah.
Yes.
No, it's third because we've still got one to come again.
Brilliant.
One got cancelled when the Queen snuffed it.
Yeah.
So there's still.
That's a great day, Zay. We didn't have to play football games and it was fine.
I mean, the positive thing about us playing Wolves is that we're playing Wolves. Mm. And the negative is that we're playing Wolves again. That's the thing, isn't it? It just feels boring. But realistically, like, Liverpool are really bad at the minute, but Wolves are a lot worse. And that should help us.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
the problem is if we go on and lose this, then I think there'll be a total meltdown.
There's just, well, that's the thing is, I don't know what a total meltdown looks like at this point. I don't see how, I mean, unless we decide that we're going to be finishing between 8th and 14th in the league, which is there'll be next level kind of shit. Like, but I think the general point on this, and James, get your take on this, is we are where we are now. We could really do with the lads turning it on. We've kind of got no choice anymore because no one's going to protest. You know what I mean? And that, whether that's to do with the ownership or the manager's position, we're all bought in on Jürgen no matter what he does. Transfer window shut, club's up for sale. Liverpool a bit crap. The atmospheres have been a bit crap. Yeah. We've just kind of got to grit our teeth and bear it really and trust that it'll either get better or it won't. This is what being a football fan is. You don't get to pick and choose how good your football team is.
We've just got to, I don't know, dig in and just try and find some joy in the football again. You know, be that singing songs, be that, you know, whatever it is. You know, the players are as unhappy, it seems, as we are. It doesn't look like anyone's enjoying the football. The players, the fans, the management, no one's having a nice time. And it's true. So all we can do is, you know, just go and support them. There's literally nothing else that we can do right now. The transfer window's closed, and actually, you know, that's probably a good thing now that there's, you know, no one's talking about that going forward. Do you know what I mean? We can just
from
this point on, no more talk about the transfer window.
But Jude Bellingham would be nice though.
Just
carry on. From now.
Who stops talking about Jude Bellingham on a random first?
I'm in on that, Chris. We're going to go to the games anyway.
No, I'm going to enjoy being at the footy because I always enjoy being at the footy. That's when you can switch off. That's when you can just focus on that. My problem I've got at the moment is, I've come to the conclusion that Jürgen's going to use the rest of the season to test shit out because I don't think we've got a plan at the moment. So I think we're going to see Gakpo in the nine some games, Gakpo on the left other games.
I think Gakpo is going to be the nine.
Yeah.
Going forward. I think he's much more likely to use him there than Nunes.
Maybe so. But and like the midfield looks like he's still testing it out at the moment with Bajcetic and Cater and Thiago. Can they play every single week? Are we going to try and get Hendo back in the six at times maybe? Or back into an eight? You know, the back four is going to be as settled as injuries allow us to be. But going forwards, we haven't worked out how to score goals. We haven't worked out how to consistently score goals, sorry. We don't know the movements like we did with Firmino and Salah and Mane. And I just think it's going to be hunker down because Jürgen's going to use this to test a few things to build us for next season. But also in that weird way where you don't want to give away next season. So you might see it for 15 minutes here and there. And it's like, well, I can't unleash it all now because then they can game plan for it next year. And I just think it's going to be really tough to watch.
I think he still thinks, given what happened, then we go back to the COVID season, he'll be sitting there going, you know what, if I can get top four with Nat Phillips and with Reece Williams, I can get a tune out of these lads. I don't think he's completely give up on it.
I hope you're right.
They
shouldn't do, but again, this is the thing. Like on paper, Wolves then Everton should be 6 points. It really should, but you can't bank on this Liverpool. They haven't earned our trust anymore. They haven't got that. They don't deserve to have it. So I don't think we're going to have many enjoyable, fun games watching Liverpool this season. Where it's like the footy was boss and we just like twatted them 5-0 and like the derbies of the past, you know, fours and fives, just their shit. I don't think we're going to see much of that, but I think Adam's point was right, is that we know how to beat Wolves. We have played them already. We did beat them very recently. Obviously, the game before that was a draw where we probably should have lost, but listen, again, another
they got VAR.
Them's the breaks, but again, it's Wolves, then it's Everton, then it's Newcastle. I bet, yeah, because they're competitors and who they are. The players, the manager, they'll have all had a conversation the other day and went, you know what, let's beat Everton and then we can go to Newcastle. And they're the ones we're chasing. I bet you if you ask them, they're the ones who are thinking, they're the new kids on the block, can we put pressure on them? But it's going to be hard, it really is. And if we beat Wolves at the weekend, it'll be by a goal, won't it? I can't see us going to Molineux and just playing them off the park.
I think there's that, but I think from our perspective, there's like a psychological shift that needs to happen and we need to stop expecting Liverpool to get back to being fucking boss again.
It's that COVID season again, isn't it? You've just got to win by
yeah, spot. Exactly. And it's obviously it's weirder than that because it was so obvious what needed to happen to fix that. you need a centre half playing centre half. There you go, Sam. Let your midfielders play in midfield and kind of see what happens. This one's a bit yeah. Or not. You know what I mean? Like I think there's a little bit of like a change where you just need to buy into the notion of we're on the climb again. So this Liverpool side is no longer the side that got to all those European Cup finals and nearly did the quadruple. And I know it is so much nearly that side, but it's not. Let's forget that it did that. This is like Jürgen Klopp coming in and he's building Jürgen Klopp 2.0. So this is the first season of him putting those in place. And what you need to see is glimpses of what that's going to look like. And I'm seeing that with like Gakpo. So I saw a little bit more and more of like, I can see how he can work in this side. Seeing Bacetic and being really impressed with a young, hungry lad playing in there. That what we need is more. I need Darwin Nunes to get back to being dead exciting again. And I need Mo Salah to score a fucking goal or two. And if we can just add a few more bits like that, I think we'll all be a bit more relaxed about the idea that we're not going to win 15 games back to back, but we might be able to just jerry rig something enough to get us competitive in the top four.
Do you know that quote from Pep Linders that Gakpo, like apparently he said to someone, Gakpo's the missing link? This was last year. Like apparently, like sort of the end of January, start of February last year, he was asked about Gakpo by someone he knows, not like in an interview. And he was like, oh, we need to get Gakpo and he's our missing link. So that's been in the works for a year. Like this is like another coach said, Pep Linders said Gakpo's. I seen this like in like December or November, like when the World Cup was on. It'd be interesting to see when that front five are back fit. Salah, Gakpo, Nunes, Diaz and Jota. I think Firmino's getting a new contract, but I think realistically Firmino is going to be there for cup games and for experience now. Yeah. And he's going to be there to be like, I've played in three Champions League finals for this guy.
There's the goal. You look over here.
I think Gakpo being the missing link, I think that means he's going to play as a nine. I think that's him being the new Firmino, and Firmino's getting that new contract to teach Gakpo what Klopp expects from his false nine.
I understand that, right? But what do you think about this then? Why sign Nunes?
Because I think...
Is Nunes the new Diaz?
I think Nunes is there to play instead of Diaz or Salah.
This is where I can't get my head around it, to be honest. I'm not disagreeing
whenever
here
Whenever one
in any
of them
way.
Misses a game.
Yeah, I just
think Klopp acknowledges he can't have three players.
Isn't it baffling to think that you'd spend 85 million on a player or whatever it was or wherever it will end up to be to just be the guy who fills in when that was Jota and you had him already?
But it might not be.
Maybe he wants, like, I think maybe also...
We've got a squad for four forwards and two midfielders. We've got a 4-2-3-1 squad.
I don't think you pay £90 million or whatever for a plan B, but I think what we're not factoring in, they might sell Salah in the summer, and Diaz is actually the right-hand side.
This goes back to the podcast we were doing yesterday. We exist in this fucking grey area where I just want Jürgen to put an arm around me and whisper me the plan, and I don't care, and I'll just go, fine. I won't sell it to anybody.
Do you remember?
Just sound.
Do you remember if I ever won the lottery, what I would spend the money on?
Yeah, just give them 20 million to the club and find out the transfer stuff.
Exactly. I'd be a shadow investor in Liverpool. I wouldn't want to know. I wouldn't have a hand in anything. All I want is just to be in the room when they decide what players they're buying and what they're doing. I signed an NDA, so I can't tell anyone. I mean, most people think we know that anyway. So why not? Why not have it be right? I mean, I wouldn't want to spend £20 million for it. I'd rather be paid for it like we are now.
Also, John has just invested it back into his loan.
Yeah. But you're right. How much more relaxing it would be to know. But the thing is, I think we get wedded to this too much of like, what's Liverpool's best 11?
I just think he wants six lads who can play up front.
I just want midfielders, mate. I'm just a simple man.
I'm with you, man. But like, I think he wants six lads who can play up front. And then each game he goes, right, who's fit? Who are we playing against? Right, that's a Bobby Firmino game. That's a Darwin Nunes game. That's a Gakpo game. I don't think there is this master plan of who starts every single game. I think it would be opposition dependent because I think he realised with the front three that we had, who were just phenomenal, that it's unsustainable.
It's money ball, isn't it? You can't replace Mane, so you buy two players who can replace him across the season.
Exactly. And you're never going to get a new Mo Salah. So that's why you pay Mo Salah.
We were talking about this on the podcast, is that your best front three, the front three, was so good. But you can't, not that you got lucky with that, but the odds of getting three guys at any time, you go back to 17-18, they all scored 20 goals that season.
and they all stayed fit.
Yeah, and that never happened. So and I wonder whether there's a bit of speculation on this, Chris, where they'll buy five or six, but and then they'll see. maybe you'll get to a position where there are just the new front three emerges, and there you guys, you play every single game.
I hope you're right, I really do, but I just can't see that the makeup of the squad right now is for a 4-3-3. I just can't see.
No, well, I think Darwin the plan Nunes was 4-4-2, wasn't it? And he tried it at the start of the year. He tried 4-4-2 and he went, hang on, this isn't working. Salah's not as effective because he's a goal scorer and he's now playing essentially right midfield. Like, I think he's changed his plan, but I think it is a money ball tactic. I think Sadio Mane's gone and he's gone, right, we're not going to get another left winger who scores 25 goals. So let's get one who scores 15 and one who scores 10. And that's where our 25 goals come from. 15 from Nunes, 10 from Diaz. I think that's what his plan is. I mean, he's got Gakpo. He can also play Nunes up front instead of Gakpo. I think he wants a bit of fluidity there. But I think when it comes down to it, I think it will be a 4-3-3. And I think he's relying on the players replacing Mane's numbers rather than his just total in-game also,
and
impact.
Look at last season when we had them all. How good were we off the bench? I think that is something that is so...
With the five subs, I can see that makes more of a difference.
Because last year, you could start, essentially, it was Salah. It was usually by the end of it was Diaz, and then you had Mane up front. But then look at your bench, and you can bring Jota on, and you can bring Bobby Firmino on. And Liverpool won games off the bench with bringing these lads on. I think that is the plan as well.
Does it look like joined up thinking, though, what Jürgen's done this season for everybody?
I think...
4-3-3, 4-4-2, 4-4-2 fucking diamond, 4-2-4, 4-3-3.
Yes.
That looks like joined up thinking and signing a forward, playing him through the middle, then moving him onto the left-hand side, then buying a left winger and moving him into the middle. That looks like joined up thinking.
Do you know why it looks joined up thinking? Because we've seen who's been injured that have caused those changes. None of them are the plan.
And these are long-term injuries as well. These are not like.
And Adam referred
to it.
They said we need to try a different formation. We can't play 4-3-3 because we've got no midfielders. And that was the point where Nunes was suspended, wasn't he? So we couldn't switch formation. The second Nunes came back, we went to 4-2-4 for a handful of games.
And then
Diaz got injured. And then
Jota got injured against Arsenal.
We've not been able to play. We've not
I know all this. Yeah. And I still can't see what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like, I genuinely just can't see that it looks like a fucking plan. It doesn't look like a plan to me.
You're right. But it's not. It's not a plan, but I can see the thinking because every formation change is preceded by a different player getting injured or suspended, or two players getting injured or suspended.
And so we all think that at the start of the season, Jürgen's big thing was to go to a mid-block halfway into the season.
No, but then he admits it himself.
We've just said, no, none of this is... not.
Everyone got injured, and B, they fucked up the midfield. I think, and he acknowledged that because that's why they signed Arthur Melo on deadline day or whatever.
Why not fix it?
Because
January, fucking hell.
Because they signed Arthur Melo on loan.
Because they signed Arthur Melo, that's why he didn't fix it.
But also, on top of that, I think I was talking to Sam Maguire about this the other day. If your plan, and look, I'm hoping this is the case, this is me being optimistic. If the plan is, look, we are going to sign Jude Bellingham, right? We need every penny we've got to be able to compete for him. Because Madrid want him, and Man City want him, and Chelsea fucking want him, and United are sniffing around it as well.
And
if
Newcastle
anyone else
now.
Fucks up. What?
And Newcastle now.
And Newcastle. Apparently. And Dortmund want to keep him.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that. If Dortmund could get a contract on the table that he would sign, they'd keep him. They absolutely would. I think Liverpool go, right, if we spend 10 million getting a player in on loan, or there's a stopgap, and we pay a loan fee, and then we pay him this much money, then... That's 15 million we haven't got towards Jude Bellingham. And if the price comes down to we bid 135 and Madrid go, fuck it, it's 150, that 15 million will be valuable. I think Liverpool might be in a position now where they go, we're not going to win the league. Top four, we can take a throw at. We're still in the Champions League and you never write us off in Europe. But we haven't got these other games. Everyone's coming back to full fitness, like in the next couple of months. We know these lads are capable from the past of putting a 12-game winning streak together. And that could be the difference between getting top four and not. So we bank on that. And we know that if we get past Madrid, we will be a team that no one wants to face in Europe because of what Anfield's like. We won the fucking Champions League with Milan Baros, Vladimir Smita, and Igor Biskan starting games.
Sam Maguire told you all this?
No. Sam hasn't spoke yet. This was all me. I said all that and Sam was like, you're right.
You should say that.
I think we're looking at I think there might be a plan. I'm hoping there's a plan, and that plan is all of our money's going to that, and we've got a little side plan. I think the other one's Matheus Nunes. I think they've gone, we'll sign you next year. I'll go and play for Wolves a bit. We haven't got the dough, and we're focusing on this Bellingham thing. But we do want you to just go and play there and prove you can play in the Premier League, and then I think it's them two. I think that is. I think your point is right though, Chris.
Is that it's this is not a plan what we're doing. It's not like they didn't sit down at the start of the season and go, "This is what's going to happen." This is them flying by the seat of the pants, trying to get it work and trying to keep the aeroplane in the fucking air by all means necessary. And it is totally enough. The Darwin Nunes stuff is the big X factor in this, because I contend our plan was exactly the same as Man City's plan this season, was to change, get a guy who's just going to score loads of goals, and everyone's fucked. Everyone is on their arse physically, but what we'll do is we'll get this young, exciting lad, and he's just going to stick the ball in the back of the net, and the goals will probably carry us through a little bit more. And look, we've got Jota, he'll score a load, and Diaz is really integrated now, he'll be a bit better. We've kept Salah, so he'll score his 20 goals, so that'll be sound. And then the midfield obviously became a bigger issue because we had more injuries, which weren't unpredictable, but we're not injuries we had last season. As well,
Liverpool don't need more midfielders, they need different ones.
Players
have to go.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the key.
You've got to get Oxlade-Chamberlain off the wages. You've got to get James Milner, much as I love him and what he's done, off the wages.
I wonder whether Darwin Nunes, they looked at him off the left and went,
That's my point. Darwin Nunes and Gakpo don't make sense, because I see Gakpo as a number nine like you, as a false nine, but Nunes was brought in as a centre forward, definitely. Yeah. He wasn't brought in as a left winger, so
he was good. They did talk about his versatility.
Might change the plan so Diaz plays up from the right hand side, and I can see that. And I've done a deep dive on this, which is out tomorrow at 5 o'clock, 8 o'clock tomorrow actually, on all of this stuff with Josh Williams. So check it out. Nunes being the centre forward and then moving to Gakpo doesn't seem like what Jürgen wanted at the start of this season.
I think he didn't bank on. Well, I'm sure he didn't think that his midfield legs were going to fall off. He said, I think Adam's right, they knew who they wanted, they couldn't get them, and they've gone, right, we're going to the well one more year with these lads. They've never let me down. I get one more year, Adam, and then next season I will do the big rebuild. And me six attackers, we're going to blast everyone out of the league. And by the way, we've got four really boss centre-halves, two of the best fullbacks in the world and the best goalie in the world. We're going to be sound. I think that was the plan. I think the plan was we'll get six of them up front, boss back four, the best goalie, and you know what? The lads in midfield, they'll dog around and they'll run the nuts off for me, and we'll be all
right. You don't have legs in midfield if your front six are boxing people in so that they're volleying at your centre back.
We've been undermined by injuries, by the leg. You can't deny the legs have fell off Henderson and Fabinho in particular, those two. And it's become a shit show. And now they are scrambling round. I don't think they wanted to sign Gakpo in January. I think Man United were going to sign him. I don't think the plan was.
And I'm not sure we sign him if one of Jota, if Diaz comes back after the World Cup fit, like he was kind of meant to, and Jota's only a few weeks away from coming back. I'm not sure they pushed the button on
Gakpo. It's only
because
Man United
want to
buy him.
We've said this, they did this before the World Cup. They've doubled down on the try and tested as much as they can. So Gakpo might not be the plan as a number nine, but sometimes happy accidents, you hit upon stuff, don't you? Darwin Nunes to me looks like an upgraded Divock Origi, which is mental to say you spent that much money on it, but that's effectively what he was. There's games where you'll play him in the nine, and if he gets up and running and he gets his goal scoring form back, he'll be a threat as a number nine. But there's times where just having someone with electric pace down the wings,
he looks like an absolute pain in the arse on the left wing, and I think they've put him there and gone,
his goal to game ratio is well better than Benfica off the left as well.
Like, sure, last year with Sadio Mane, I don't think the plan was ever to put Sadio Mane in front.
I think I've got here is that I understand taking Gakpo in January. I do. 35 million quid, Manchester United wanted them, of course, but if we had 35 million quid, why not just buy fucking Nunes?
because you couldn't play this season.
No. At the start of the season, he could. Oh, yeah. Before he moved to Wolves for 40 million quid. Fucking hell, lads.
Yeah, but they admitted this.
Got a problem in the middle of the park.
Yeah. They admitted this by signing Alfa Melo. They realised they fucked up. But by getting Alfa Melo in, they fucked themselves over because there's no specs.
We only got Melo in after Wolves have bought Nunes.
Yeah.
I think they've gone in the summer. They've gone, right, I tell you what, right, we do need a midfielder here, but we've got too many. And no one really wants the lads we're trying to get rid of. So, you know what, we'll be all right. Like, we've got Ox, we'll get 10 games out of him. We'll get fucking 15, 20 out of Keita. You know, Henderson's good. Fabinho's going to be better. He can't possibly have a worse season than he's had since March. Like, Harvey Elliott's going to play a load of games. Fabio Cavallo, you know, he's probably going to play left wing a couple of times. Going to play him in they've looked at it and gone, we'll be all right in midfield, yeah. And then a few players have got injured and we've started badly and they've gone, we should have fucking bought Matheus Nunes and just released two or three of these, and they've panicked and gone, just get us a loan player in, let's get to January and we'll deal with it then. Let's get the World Cup out the way. We'll deal with it then. They've got Melo in. He fucking breaks his soul. And we're like, what the fuck have we done here? And they've just, they've backed themselves into a stupid situation. The policy has not been right. FSG have made a few mistakes. I think Klopp and his team have made a few mistakes. The fact is, we're in this situation now, and the only thing that solves it is in the summer, you get at least two midfielders in, and ideally three, who play for Liverpool. Not players who are going to come in like Robertson did, and you know he's going to be behind fucking Alberto Moreno for 6 months in a pecking order. We need a new midfield going into next season. Yeah. I think it's possible. Bajcetic is one of them now.
Yeah,
I think he's pushed his way in, and it might be you've got Bajcetic and two new eights who, you know, they are rotated with. If Keita stays, a bit of Naby Keita, a bit of Harvey Elliott, a bit of whoever's still around. But I think realistically, Liverpool need Bajcetic, who can be sort of shadowed and mentored by Fabinho, who can be like, hey, when I was able to run, I used to do it like this. And then the two eights need to be new. They need to be fresh. And I think two new eights, Bajcetic at the six, and that front six we've got all being fit, next season is a completely different prospect for Liverpool compared to the one we're in right now.
So we're all buying into what Jürgen's doing between now and the end of the season because we've got no choice.
Mate, like, back them to the fucking hill. You know, that fella has done so much for us. He really has. He's the fucking best. And I think you're right. Adam's made a good point before. Like, the owners have let him down, but he's also let him. He's made some decisions that, if you ask them now in hindsight, he said himself in his press conference recently, why the fuck did I say yes to that pre-season tour? Yeah. Why did they do that? Like, he knows, like, there's so many bad mistakes have been made, but like, we are where you are. You can't change that now. You've got to just get on with it.
That's the thing about it, is that you're right. Look, it doesn't change anything. It doesn't change anyone's upset with the owners. It doesn't change anyone, the fact that we should have done this and could have done this, and it would have been better if we'd done all this, but like, great, unless anyone's managed to crack time travel in, you know, in the last day or two.
Adam's still pissed off at past Adam.
Yeah.
Klopp is unsackable, but he's not unquestionable.
Yeah, and that's fine because you've got footy. Everyone's got to have opinions, and when someone did something wrong, you've done something wrong. He's not beyond reproach. But the beauty of it is, and I think people forget this sometimes, is that the beauty of having the best in the world at something is that you don't have to worry yourself with all of the all those stressful conversations around should he go and what's he got to do. It does mean that you've got to put your faith in, but it is easier putting your faith into someone who's been there and done it before and is at the highest level. Alisson was the way I said this. You know, Alisson made that mistake against Leicester in like his third or fourth game or whatever. And I was like, if Karius had done that, that would have been we'd have been ruined for the season. But when you've got the best goalie in the world and he makes a mistake, you actually go, oh shit, even the best goalies in the world make mistakes. Okay, so you've kind of got to let stuff go. It just feels very on top
of
the moment.
But it is also different. Like, I think if Karius had made that mistake, Karius flaps it. Karius gets in his own head and he's exactly. Like, oh fuck, I fucked it. Oh fuck, everyone hates me again. Whereas Alisson went, nightmare that one. Anyway, watch these nine saves.
Yeah, no, it's true. Right, sounds. Are we confident Liverpool will win?
Liverpool win against Wolves?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely not.
Yeah, I am actually.
Yeah, we're going to win 1-0.
Yeah, I'll get 1-0.
3-1.
I think we'll win, but I'm not confident. How can you be confident in them? We've seen them play recently.
Drink. Stick.
3-1. Yeah. I think Gakpo gets a couple of goals.
Oh, I'd like that. I'd really like that.
6-0.
Yeah, we're not going to beat them 6-0. No. But at this point, just win.
Yeah.
And then win the derby. And then
got to win
the derby. This, you know, it sounds ridiculous. Like, the idea that Liverpool can win like a game at the moment feels a bit odd. But like, you put two or three down, which is possible. It's possible. We beat Man City this season. Mm-hmm. You know, we gave Arsenal a hell of a game until Diaz got injured.
We beat Man City and outplayed them.
Yeah.
We were better than Man City at Anfield.
It's possible.
We deserved to win.
You mentioned this the other day. We got our second highest ever points total in a group stage of a Champions League this season. You know,
it feels so long ago.
No, done it though. But it's possible. And we should believe
we're
so.
Knock Madrid out. I know that seems insane.
I absolutely agree with that as well. But we'll see. I also thought we were going to beat them in the final. But life's a shit house. Right, gentlemen, thank you so much. That's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us for the very first ever Thursday Night Pint. We'll be back next week. Stay tuned for guest announcements. Steve's looking at me because he knows that he's the man responsible for booking and he's got a hell of a week on his hands to top these two absolute fucking heroes that we've had in tonight.
But John Bishop and Stephen Graham.
Oh, Outstanding. Right, if you want more from these guys, completely and utterly uncensored, join us on Red Men Plus for Red Men Uncensored. We're going to be chatting life, the universe, and everything. And anything we really want to. It is X-rated. It is. There's a circle of trust involved. But do come and join us over on there. It will be good fun. Yes, anyway, thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us. All your wonderful commenters as well. Have a boss week and up the Reds.
Thanks for listening. If you want even more boss content and podcasts just like this, go over to redmenplus.com and sign up now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.